You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Johnny, what a stud. If I knew how to play the guitar at your age, oh man. I was going to say something powerful. Scotty threw me off. Hey man, one cup of communion, brother. One cup. That old cup runneth over thing got a little crazy. Listen, you know, if it's your first time here, second time, third time, I got to tell you, there's a couple things. This church was founded on fresh, real, and powerful. You know, and I didn't mention this at the 10, but you know, I came from religiosity, and it got me nowhere. Because I didn't know you could have fun in church. So this is a pre-warning for those of you who are like, man, worship, it was a little jump in. Communion, that girl got up here, she was a little passionate. Yeah. And those of you that don't know, I want to help you. She's passionate because a doctor gave a report to go get your house in order. Your husband's not going to make it. Jesus gave a report. It is finished. So if you want to know why she was a little passionate, because the devil comes in to kill, steal, and destroy and be an intimidator in your life, but in this house, we intimidate right back. So you might think it's just hype. It's called passion when you have revelation. And I went 30 years of no passion, no revelation, but I knew the word. I could throw a scripture at you, but I had no fruit in my life. So I want to tell you, when you get planted in this house, I hope you see the fruit change in your life. Some of you know your fruit can grow even bigger. You know, Jesus cursed a fig tree because it didn't produce fruit. I'm telling you, sometimes we got to getting planted in the right environment, in the right soil, will be the determination of the fruit you're going to bear in your life. Don't start my time on that, because that was just for something that needed to happen. I'm telling you, someone needed to hear that, because I felt like in the 10, it was some heavy pushing. There's half the church that came with the culture of, we're going to receive something today. And the other half stood back and be like, why is that guy having so much fun? And the minute I started sharing some of my testimony, I'm like, whoa, that was too real. Did he say the word sex? Did he say, let me tell you, be unoffendable in the house of God. This is a place where new life comes and spring forth and overabundant, a well flowing out of you. If we're going to be the light of the world, people, we got to put a smile on our face. Let's have a little fun. All right, that's all I got to say about that. Man, the anointing's so thick. We might just scrap and just pray for people. Nah, I promise God I'd deliver. All right, let's do this. Thanks, man. You guys are amazing. Shoot, that would, seriously. Just pray for myself up here the whole time. All right. You guys, what's all that material up there? Well, I'm going to tell you, where I come from, the chiropractic world, everyone's like, oh man, you better prove what you're saying. So I just, you know, bring some resources. This one's called the Word of God. This is called science, because I get all these analyticals and be like, yes, I need to see where that was referenced. So I brought it for you. Come down afterwards. It's funny, they just really rip it off out of here, but it's amazing. You put a little science, someone wrote a book, PhD, it almost like validates this. Whereas before, we just got to get the revelation, this validates this. That was my aha moment anyway. So we're going to read out of that. This is my life book. So you know everything I'm saying isn't a bunch of hype. But, you know, I put some time into this. And, you know, when I found out that the series was on relationomics, that's crazy. It's one of my favorite topics. I just didn't know it because I love people. And my whole life has been around people. Thank God I married someone that can rein me in once in a while. Shoot, I was out in the lobby and someone had to come get me. Thank you, wherever you're. Thank you. She goes, you have to preach. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. But this couple's so amazing. I got my new Canada crew up here. They're going to bring me up to their house if I preach good. If I offend them, I won't be going to Canada. But it's amazing, man. God just put this thing. I love people. And you know what I found out I love more? Your guys' breakthrough. So you get to hear all the train wreck, jack wagon things I've done so you don't have to do it. That's what I learned. I'm like, God, why couldn't you have introduced me to someone so I didn't have to go through it? He's like, you should have saw the path you were going on. I was like, oh, I was a little slow. It took me 30 years to figure it out. So that's where I want to teach from. The title of my message is Living a Life of Wealth. So how many of you want to be wealthy? Wow, only a few of you. Those of you that don't have frozen shoulder, how many of you want to be wealthy? Okay, the next question is, how many of you thought I was talking about finance and money? Be honest. It's okay. Just to let you know, wealth is a lot of things. To some people, it is money, but that's not what I'm preaching on today. Some of the wealthiest things that I have today, or my wealth, is all about my relationships in my life. You know, and I just really wanted to share kind of what I learned along the way, because it wasn't always this way. See, I've always loved people. That didn't mean I was good at relationships. And I don't mean dating. I'm talking friends. You know, we can live this. I grew up and it was all Christianese, you know. I would go to church on Sunday and pretend everything was great. And it was amazing. My parents, you know, I knew we were going through H-E-double-L and PG-13. And I knew we were going through it. I was watching, my family go upside down, losing millions of dollars. But yet we go to church on Sunday and everything was great. And I watched my family train wreck, but no one in the church knew about it. I thought it was interesting. And then by the time it was too late, you know, then you have a few people that come to try to pick up the pieces, but it was already a wreck. And that's how I grew up. But I was the kid that I wanted to be real on Sunday, real. So I was saying things I shouldn't be saying in church. You know, because I was living this hypocritical life. I'd go to church on Sunday, then Monday through Saturday, I'd be living this completely other life. And it definitely didn't line up with the word. It was a black sheep rebel. Thank goodness, how many of you have a mom that prays for you? Yeah. Oh my gosh, my poor mom. We need to pray for her right now. She's already upset. This isn't live stream. I'm like, Mom, pray for yourself. Don't say things like that. Calm down. So when she hears this, she's going to know the whole church right now is interceding for her. But we love you, Mom. So what if I told you the key to wealth is locked up in the relationships you currently have? You and I. What if I told you it even gets better if I told you the quality of our relationships with family, friends, employees, and loved ones is in direct proportion to the quality of life you're either having now or you will have in the future? See, I want to give you real quick a revelation on what I had because of what a mess I was. And then I'm going to teach you what Jesus said about friendships and then the type of friend Jesus was. And then I want to give you strategy today. Anybody? Nobody wants that? Need a flat white? I think I've had 7, so don't mind me. It's like, So here's what happened. 2005, before I met Pastor Juergen, before I came to this church, here's how it went down. Real quick, it's not that hard of a concept to understand. So when was that, 12 years ago? Man, I was like 29. I shouldn't even give my age out. It's pathetic. You're only as old as the woman you feel. That's why I married young. It's before I was a pastor, people. Don't judge. Okay. Handle yourselves. It's going to get like this the whole service, I promise. I at least offended every group of people earlier. I hope they come back. And by the way, we do have a powerhouse preaching tonight. Come back. Pastor Stacy Capaldi is bringing a fresh word. Amazing. And then next week we have Pastor Troy. So don't make one service based on this. But some people, like honestly, teaching, some people it's hard to receive. When I came to this church, ow, I was offended for 6 months. The good news, I had a mom that told me you need to go back. And two, I had the Holy Spirit by Wednesday telling me, didn't you see all those people, how joyful they were? That's what I want for your life. So I was offended on Sunday, said I'd never go back. And every Wednesday, I was so convicted, I ended up back on Sunday. 6 months, it went like that. It was a battle. So even if I offend you today, please come back. 3 more services or 6 months, whichever you prefer. But here's what happens. In 2005, I was hooked up, dating a girl, and deep down, it just didn't feel right. I was living a life that, you know, wouldn't have put a smile on my parents' face. And I'll tell you, I was downtown Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. I mean, I was VIP everywhere. Didn't help that I live with the DJ, so every time I walk into a club, I was like, Dr. Matt's in the house. Give me my table, people. It was so bad. But that's the type of friends I have. They'd give me advice around bottle service. Tell me, how many know that's not good advice?
Yeah, you should date her. She's good looking. Don't stop. Let's dance all night long.
And the next day, I regretted everything. But then I'd do it again, like an idiot. But that's because the friendships that I had around me, that's all I had. That's all they were doing. See, I was train wrecking my life, getting convicted, train wrecking my life, and then I met Pastor Juergen. He was like the most positive person you could ever meet. And even though I was doing stupid things Friday, Saturday, the church hadn't even started yet. We'd meet up on a Sunday or have a prayer meeting at his house on a Wednesday and always encourage me, tell me, don't worry about it. And then he'd always challenge me, what's God saying about your girlfriend's situation? And like that, I got convicted and I said, I'm not going there. And I literally broke up with her. And then she did, pretty much just said, well, tough, I'm pregnant. Train wreck. Don't look all religious at me like you're judging me. Jeez, look at those eyes. Can't believe he's talking about that. Yeah, I am. That's what I came from. But I had a family that loved me and a Jesus that forgave me. And I had a pastor that saw me through it all. And that was a defining moment in my life, people. That was a defining moment in my life. Because I grew up, my uncle's a pastor, my grandpa's a pastor. I had pastors all through. And guess what they did when I went through this season? They all judged me too. So I was up on my own little cross. That's all I went through is just judgment, though. Don't feel bad for me. But I will tell you this, I had a fresh look at what was going on in my life. And I realized a couple things. What happened to all my friends? You know, I went to this awesome Christian college, Westmont, and I did what I thought I was going to do. I was going to honor the man I am. I was raised in a family of honor and integrity. And I made a mistake. So I'm going to own it. I'm going to suck it up and own it. I'm going to do the right thing. And so I told my parents what was going on, and I told my best friends from Westmont what was going on. Guess what I realized? And like that, I realized all my friends judged me, all left me. I was standing in a room by myself. It was amazing that my circle of friends in San Diego, because I wanted to go to my Christian friends thinking they'd be a support. The support they were was like, dude, you're such a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. And it broke my heart. So then the friends that you wouldn't think were my friends were actually, you know, trying to be supportive of me. And they were all my downtown friends living this lifestyle, probably because I was paying for that bottle service. Probably I was paying for everything. But the revelation I had is, what is going to change? And I had this one mentor who's like an older brother to me say, Matt, you've never defined what friendship looks like. Because I'm like, you have the most epic friends. And then I'm hanging out with Pastor Juergen. And then I had just met this beauty. And I'm going, man, what is going on? And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me that it was all a lie, that she was lying, that it wasn't true. And like that, I went and exposed it. And I said, God, I'm never going that way again. Show me the right way to go. And guess what? He didn't leave me. It's almost like he said, test me in this. He opened up doors. He showed me the way. And I'll tell you, since that day, we're talking 12 years later, I have the most epic relationships. I define my life. I look at every avenue of my life, and I throw it up against my core values. And it is redefined. And I know what true friendship looks like, real friendship looks like, to the point where I've defined it. So I just want to show you what I believe about relationships. And then we're going to look at what Jesus believes. And this is all post-2005. So I had to have my come to Jesus moment with what friendships were lacking in my life, and they were defining me. Because you know, all the personal development, who you hang out with is who you become, all that kind of stuff. So let me show you. This is what do I believe about relationships? Because that's the question God asked me, and I didn't have an answer. Now I do. My premise about relationships. Relationships set the undertones in my life that define and steer my happiness. Great relationships magnify the best in my life, while the poor relationships can drain me and take me out of balance. The juice of life is real, dynamic, and full of relationships. It takes energy, consciousness, and care to develop the real relationships that I strive for in life. Relationships are based on faith, communication, hope, and love. The design, the setup, and the map are the tools that I help define my ideal relationships based on love. These relationships will be secure, anchored, and balanced in order to build my life like a fortress. Outside forces, opinions, and attitudes will not affect or have any bearing on my life moving forward. My friendship vision is this. The quality of my relationships with family, friends, employees, and loved ones is in direct proportion to the quality of life I'm going to have moving forward. I'm committed to excellence and have an extraordinary relationships based on respect and integrity. My friends will be powerful beyond measure. They will lead, inspire, and create and design the actions that will bring our friendship to the next level. They are brilliant, talented, and growing individuals who hold on to the value of integrity and trust to a level few reach. My friendships expand, enhance, and grow, pushing beyond what I'll ever think is possible. We have no time for insecure pettiness, but unconsciously give one another permission to grow and trust ourselves. We help one another through fear, hard times, and breakthrough. Our presence together liberates one another. We will always lean on, lift up, and respect boundaries. Friends were created by past crossing and perfect timing. I look at each of my friends as a blessing for times of giving, sharing, and relating. Friends will pull me through the lowest valleys, the darkest waters, and push me up the highest mountains. I will always be a fantastic friend. I honor the opportunity of being called friend. That's my vision for my friendship. Let me pray for everybody. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that everybody is here right now for a reason. Lord, I ask that you open up hearts and minds. God, teach us something fresh, real, and powerful this morning. I thank you that we're going to press into your word. God, give us a fresh revelation and strategy for you, what you have for our future and our life. We give you honor. And everybody said, amen. Well, cool. So that's what I said about relationships, but what's Jesus say about them? You know, the whole book, I have a bunch of Proverbs I want to read you. You can just jot down, look them up later. I always say this, the more that you go investigate for yourself, the more it's going to be your revelation. Hey, not Dr. Matt's revelation. And I want that for you. The one thing that's so different is like, oh, C3, all that can be clicky. No, they're finding their friendships. That's why we encourage everybody to get in a connect group, get connected, because iron sharpens iron. So what does the Bible say? What does his word say? You know, good old Bible, B-I-B-L-E, I can't even spell, everything's blurring, no. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 22:24-25, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn the ways and get yourself ensnared. What you think about, you bring about. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I lived it. 6, Proverbs 27:5-6, better is to open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. What that means is sometimes as a friend, we got to speak into people's lives. And it doesn't always make us feel good. Friends have to be able to give us a word to get us over a hump. You know, I look at all my friends, they weren't telling me to get away from this girl. I've had to do it twice. One of them received it, the other one I'm not friends with anymore. And to see how his life train wrecked was sad. But he told me I was his friend. He said, hey man, if I ever started acting like an idiot, let me know. So I did. He just wasn't willing to receive it. I've had people speak into my life. I didn't like it. But I've given them permission to speak into my life. I want to know. That's why sometimes we come to church and it can't be fluff all the time. We got to get correction. We don't like it. The level of maturity is how can we receive correction? And you know, all these Proverbs just giving us like wisdom about that. Last one I just want you guys to understand is this. John 15:12-15. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friend. And it goes on how he called his disciple friends. It's an incredible thing. So mostly what I want to teach you is just right out of the book of John. And what Jesus shows us through examples through the New Testament regarding what friendship looks like. See, anybody can be a friend and everything's going good, but I want to see what was Jesus like his last week. They call it Passion Week. What was he like under the most pressure, the most stress? He knew what he had to do to go make mission accomplished. And a couple of his friends took him serious. Most of them were in denial about it. But it's just a story because I call it the rub test, the Jesus rub test. Because how many know people rub off on you? They did me. To me, I grew up in an amazing Christian family. Went to Westmont. My mom was so upset I didn't meet my wife at this good Christian school. You know, I'll never forget on graduation, my mom is bawling. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You didn't meet a Christian girl. Mom, they're crazy. Most of her pastor kids are more wild than me. Calm down. Amy, I wasn't thinking about you. That's my friend from Westmont. She's up there just shaking her head. But I'm telling you, my dad's like, Gail, he got a great education. I sent him here to get a wife. True intentions. So listen, friends rub off on you. Stick around them long enough, and their likes, dislikes, perspectives, and priorities will influence your own. Depending on the quality of your friends, this could be a good or a bad thing. I can tell you some of my greatest friends, the only reason my wife and I are still in this church, we thought we'd be in Austin, Texas by now. Living on a ranch, I married a Texas girl. Let's get back to the roots. But you know why we can't leave? Because I know the most incredible friends that we have right now in relationships, we could never buy. And I do not want to leave them because I see a lot of people that have left for money, that have moved across for whatever, but it wasn't based in relationships. And that is the foundation that our future is built on. Show me your relationships, I can show you how far you're going to go in life. Because God's shown me numerous times. You know, so usually when we think of Jesus in the last days before the cross, we just remember the agony, we watch Passion of the Christ, all that kind of stuff. But when I was reading through John, it's amazing the revelation I had, especially when looking at Jesus, how he was a friend, but then the friends of Jesus. And then we're going to give some strategy. But he loved these people. He hung out with his 12 disciples all the time, and then he had some other friends as well that he poured into. But just 6 days before Passover, Jesus' best friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they threw a dinner in his honor, right in John chapter 12, verse 1-8. Usual fashion, you know, Martha was working her tail off, and Lazarus was playing host while Mary got down and realized what was going on. See, Jesus had told everyone that he was going away. But some people were so busy and caught up in life, they didn't really hear that or believe it because they were in denial. And I just realized that sometimes, you know, we got to pay attention to our friends' needs. You know, we can get so caught up in work and hustle and bustle of life and, you know, we're going to 10X this. We're going to slay this. Crush it. Grant Cardone's my dad. You know, it's like, I'm in the business world. I know. I listen to all that stuff, and you get caught up into it. I used to have a thing on my phone. It'd beep in the morning. It'd say, beast mode on. So I would wake up and be like, it's 5 a.m. Here I go. My nickname was The Machine. And I would just get up and crush. And then when God's like, you know, God, Holy Spirit, I woke up in prayer one day. He's like, hey, when are you going to let me take over? When are you going to crush Superman? And like that, I heard, be still. And you know what's amazing? Two of my next couple business ventures were because I changed the cover of my phone, and still to this day on it, it says, be still. Because my default is beast mode, but I need to hear, be still. And it's amazing. I've done further in business, further in life, because I've been still, and I move when God tells me to move. When God tells me to pray for someone that's going to get up here, I pray for it. I don't just want to beast mode it. I want to pray, what is God doing? When Johnny Day was leading worship this morning, that's called be still and just flow with the Holy Spirit. That's where people get healed, get transformed. So back to this, you know, he was going to go to the cross. She heard his words and believed the impossible, but everybody else just blew it off. But Mary got down on a knee. She broke over the alabaster jar. She poured out a fragrance, a year's worth of salary, all over Jesus' feet. And it was amazing. She took the time to connect, not only with her Savior, but her friend. I was like, wow, I could learn from that. Her sacrifice seemed small in the light, and she knew what he was about to go do for her. She would not always have him here, so she connected in the moment. I call it PTC, present time consciousness. And I remind my kids, I vow when I pull up at home, I want to connect with my kids when I pull in the house. When I'm with friends now, I want to put my phone away. Simon Sinek did a whole TED talk on what phones are destroying, social media, everything. We're getting less connected, actually. And it's a powerful video I ask you to YouTube. It's probably an 8-minute video that actually changed my wife and I in parenting. because of what, you know, even it goes on, the New York Times went and did an article on, what's his name? Jobs. The founder, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, and he says, yeah, there's not one device in my house because this is what it will do to families. The creator of Apple, it's at New York Times, look it up, Steve Jobs in his house on his own device, and you'll read the article, you'll be blown away. He says it will crush creativity, it will crush relationships. So days later, Jesus would be stripped of everything except for the fragrance of Mary's friendship still clinging on him as he hung on the cross. Jesus' friendships with Peter, this is what I love. How many of us, if you had any superpower, it'd be like, read your friend's mind? Yeah, yeah, I'd love to remind you that you need to pray for grace every second. I'm glad I don't have that gift. I'd be like, oh, Lord, I can't believe my wife just thought that about me. Babe, how could you? Yeah, but it's amazing. Jesus knew his friend Peter. Look at the friendship that this is. He knew what was ahead for his friend. So when Peter denied him, Jesus prayed. When Peter failed him, Jesus forgave him. And when Jesus suffered, Peter had the revelation and followed. From a distance, for sure, but he followed. That faithfulness was born from Jesus' forgiveness. Wow. It's amazing. I realize that a good friend, Jesus points out, we gotta forgive. And I just had a friend totally shaft me. But you know what? The next day, the Holy Spirit told me, you're gonna forgive him. And I will bless you. I was like, okay. That's a real deal to like have that trust. Like, I gotta trust you, Lord. I gotta trust you. You've always taken care of me. Why wouldn't you take care of me now? I know what it was like not trusting you before. I'm not going back there. So I'm gonna default to trust you. It's the rub test. Peter hung out with Jesus all the time and he got rubbed on. And after Jesus went away, those 12 disciples that were around him enough to say, that's the type of friends we're gonna be, they went and flipped the world upside down. Because of what friendships look like. Relationships are the key to the gospel. It's gonna enrich our life. We say the light of the world, well, guess what? You can be snuffed out unless you have other people around you. I mean, you know, you see a candle go out, but then you just lean next door to another candle and tip it over and they'll light yours right back up. That's friendships. So how do we define them? Look at these other snapshots that I was reading just throughout the rest of the book of John. His friend John, who stood by his mother by the side of the cross while he was hanging, John 19, 26 and 27. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they took down his broken body from the cross. Mary Magdalene, who came so early on the first day to bury his body, it's in John 20. These are the type of friends that were devoted. And of course, there was Peter and John, Jesus' closest friends. They were besties. Who ran at full speed to get to Jesus' empty tomb that Easter morning. They went there, not because they were believing he was raised from the dead, they went there to protect him because the Roman guards were told, go find that body. We gotta show everybody that this dude is a false prophet. But guess what, when they got there, he wasn't there. John later writes about it, and I love this, Simon Peter therefore also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face-to-face cloth, which he had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. They saw and they believed. Jesus was who he said he was. And they were rocked forever. Each friend responded to Jesus, not out of religious obligation, but out of committed love. Jesus rubbed off on them. A few weeks later, after Jesus' ascension, I love this in Acts. This is the part I want you to get. They were following, there was a bunch of men following these guys to the temple. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, that they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, they saw when they hung out with Jesus that there was power on them. People watch us. You say you're a Christian? Man, I'm so embarrassed. People want to know why I'm so passionate now. It's because I train wrecked people for 30 years. Growing up in a Christian family saying I was a Christian, I got a lot of making up to do. And I'm telling you, I want my rub test to look different now than it did pre-30. So the question remains, has Jesus' life rubbed off on you? I can give you all the great antidotes. I'm about to give you some strategy, but it will not matter unless Jesus is in the center of your life rubbing off on you. So I love questions, total Socratic method. This is how I learn, this is how I teach. And I want you to understand like this. Because just as the men in the temple noticed the difference in Peter and John, will your friends note a difference when you've spent time with Jesus? I think this is the rub test. So here are the questions, five of them. Is your love for your friends stronger than it is than it was just a few months ago? Do you sincerely consider your friend's needs to be more urgent than your own? Do you readily forgive your friend when he or she irritates or offends you?
Or your wife.
Do you challenge your friend in a positive way to live a pure, uplifting, holy, and obedient life? And last one, do you pray for your friends? If I don't put these questions out in front of me all the time, how am I going to raise the standard? I can't tell you the level of spiritual warfare going on just to, like, deliver this word. I mean, the devil would hate for us to all be friends. Doing life together, getting people saved, throwing a party on Sundays. The joy of the Lord. Man, I grew up, you walk out of church, you're like, oh my gosh, I need a burrito. No, it's honestly, I'd come and I'd hear the word and get slapped down, slapped down. It wasn't life transforming. It was life depressing. Quit reading out of the Old Testament, Pastor. Is there something new? Listen, John 13, 34. This is what it comes down to right here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. All right, here we go. You ready? We're going to drink out of a fire hose. Make sure you have a pen. Seriously, if you're not taking notes, pray for your neighbor. Tell him to take notes, because I want you. Listen, all this application, I can tell you all day long what the Bible says. I can tell you what Jesus does. But unless I give you application, how are you going to apply it to your life? Here's a great example. This guy's like, yeah, man, I went down to the front and I got prayed for. And my back totally got healed. But, man, I'm back to see you because it's back. I'm like, bro, it's back because you weigh 300 pounds and your belly's sticking over your belt and that friend Bob is not your friend. And you can go down the front and get healed again, but unless you make changes, you're going to keep having back problems. That's not a Jesus problem. That's you not losing some LBs. Is that too much? Sorry. It's true, though. I see it every day. People are like, yeah, I just want God to heal me. Stop smoking. Well, it's like... No, I won't go there. I want to show a video. I went there last service, and they all missed out on a video I don't want you to miss out on. But I'm telling you, this is the strategy. Where the rubber meets the road, God gives application to his word. You can hear a word, but unless you apply it, what's the point? People walk around, I'm so knowledgeable. I'm going to drop the word of the Lord on you. But they don't even apply it to themselves. Jesus cursed a fig tree because it didn't produce fruit. What's the fruit in your life? It doesn't matter what you know, it matters what you live. So, here's the strategy, because I want to give it to you. Prepare, confess, commit. Prepare, confess, commit. So we're going to prepare a strategy. Just like I wrote down the vision for my friendships, that is my being prepared. The confess is when I'm a jack wagon and I forget to read my own vision for my friendships, I'm confessing, God, you got to give me strength to be a better friend. The commitment is, let me stick to it. Yeah. Let me stick to it. Yeah. So it's like a great example is, you know, I had a trucker's mouth back in the day, you know, and then I realized I cursed in front of that means I would say things I shouldn't say. Does that help anybody? Trucker's mouth. I didn't drive an 18-wheeler, but that my joke is now when I hear someone drop an F-bomb, I'm like, oh, are you a trucker? Where's your 18-wheeler? I haven't even seen it. Do you pull the horn? That was a joke. Didn't go over well. That's okay. Just testing it. It's true. Worked at Central Campus. So I don't know what's going on here. I'm sorry. So listen, this is what science says. This book is called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. So this is all the latest science, okay? latest science on neurophysiology of the brain. It even says in here, and I'm not going to get into it, but this is what it says. It says if you take a drug addict that's been sober for 10 years and you put him back in the environment with the old friends, immediately in his mind, he'll start producing chemicals and he'll go back right to that same feeling of addiction. Sober 10 years, it doesn't matter. You can't discipline your way just out. You have to change your mind. But it's so weird. They could have just read this book and got what that is. Renew your mind daily. Take every thought captive. Apply what you heard. But it's in this scientific book. People go, man, I'm definitely going to start doing that now. That's legit. There's an MRI that even shows brain activity. Bible helps people. But I'm glad we have backup like a good scientific book. This book is, I could drop bombs all day from this book. They showed pre and post activity. You go hang out with negative people for 3 days, do a brain map. Go hang out with positive people 3 days, do a brain map. The brain changes. Depression has to do with an environment, not just a chemical. Your environment produces the chemical takes over and you get depressed. Change your environment, reproduce chemicals, your body turns back on. Science. I'm just saying, I want to read this last thing. Typically, people who leave churches don't depart because of the preaching, the worship, or the programs. Instead, they leave because they don't sense church as a team, or better yet, a family. What we're designed for is to be in relationships. What we want are friends. We are all responsible to take the initiative and show love for one another. As we do, we provide the greatest witness for Christianity. Friendships make the church go forward. That was out of Church Exposition magazine in 2015, saying, why do people leave churches? Because they don't feel connected. But if I read you the text, I took a pill in Ibiza. To show Avicii I was cool. And when I finally got sober, I felt 10 years older, but it was something to do. I'm living out in LA. I drive a sports car just to prove. I'm a real big baller because I made $1 million, but I spend it on girls and shoes. The whole song is about he's lonely and he doesn't have any friends, and he might be a rock star, but he's alone because he doesn't have friendships. He'd rather give it all up for a friend. Number one song. You know why people resonate with this song? You can't resonate with it unless it's in you. C.S. Lewis says, what draws people to be friends is they see the same truth and then they share it. Friends are a reflection of our values. So wherever you're at now, it's not to get judgmental, it's just saying that that's just what we value now. See, back in the day, my friends, I valued going out downtown, thought it was a fun time. That was my friends, that was my values. But if I wanted to meet, I'm gonna show the video no matter what. They're gonna love it. Jesus, I'll go faster. Help me right now. Supernatural. All right, here we go. Let's throw the friendship ring up there. You guys better take notes. We're going fast. Lord, help me. Supernatural. Here's the strategy in work. This right here is circle friends. I want you to get this. I got to help you with strategy. Number one, best friends. Your inner circle. I call this the circle of intimacy. Who are you going to call in a crisis? You may not know if you've never been in one, but who are you going to call if you're in one? Who are your besties? The next one, special friends, circle of influence. This is what I call circle of influence, or your special friends doing life, support, share. They're your tribe. Number three, social friends. It's called the circle of participation. Social friends, activity-based, picked up where you left off. It's the crowd. That is where I lived my life in church for 30 years. Now, rewind, it's my tribe. They're my circle of influence. Do you see the difference? I would go and participate church on Sunday. Now I'm in with my tribe and we're gonna change who I am because of the influence. Where do you wanna be? Do you just wanna participate or do you want it to be a tribe? Last one is the circle of exchange, casual friends. Acquaintances, casual friends, who you see, wherever you go. See, Jesus had his two or three besties. Then he had 12 disciples. They were his special friends. And then his social friends, he'd go out and preach to the masses. Sometimes he'd go to their home. Sometimes he'd do whatever. And then the casual friends, everyone that knew Jesus. And how many people know that go around saying they know Jesus? Sometimes it's after they drop a hammer on their thumb. But you got to start somewhere. Come on. You guys can laugh at that. Jeez. You know, I want to give you just some quick categories. But again, what do you do with that? Here's what you do. You start getting really intentional about your friends. There's six categories of friends. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Work friends, family friends, church friends, social friends, neighbors, non-local friends. You got your six categories?
Yeah.
Okay, let this help you. If my wife and I, we've been married 10 years, if we threw a wedding right now today, I promise you one or two, maybe zero, would be from the same bridegroom's. You know what I'm saying. Put it all together. The bridal party. I very doubt they'd be in our life now. I still love them. They're still important. I respect them. I call them. I talk to them. They're not in my inner circle. They wouldn't be at our next renewing of our vows party because they don't influence my life anymore. So you got to look at it, and this is what I'll leave you with. Here's the questions you now have to ask. What friends could disciple me? What friends could I disciple? Who are my spiritual peers or influencers in my life? And if you're a mature Christian, you're like, yeah, pretty strong. Who are my non-Christian friends that I can influence? Because if you're not strong enough, they're going to influence you. So my question is, let's stick to the first three. Who could disciple me of all those lists and categories? Who could I disciple? And who are my spiritual peers or influencers? When you start asking questions like that, you won't need an Ayn Rand quote like this. Your only choice is whether you define your philosophy by a conscious, rational, disciplined process of thought and scrupulously logical deliberation, or let your subconscious accumulate a junk heap of unwanted conclusions, false generalizations, undefined contradictions, undigested slogans, unidentified wishes, doubts and fears thrown together by chance, but integrated in your subconscious mind by a kind of mongrel philosophy infused into a single solid weight called self-doubt. She's saying that if you're not intentional about who your friends are, then you're subconsciously going to get anybody that you just attract into your life. Be intentional with your friends. Be intentional with your standards. Be intentional with your values. Start defining what you're looking for. Be an influencer in every category of your life. I'm gonna leave you with this video. Do you guys mind giving me two more minutes? Do you mind? It's so powerful. I promise. We're all gonna leave a legacy. See, the difference is, what kind of legacy are you gonna leave? It's gonna be a little one, or it's going to be a life-transforming one. I want to show you a legacy of what this man left behind and how if we start thinking bigger, it's by the level of friends that will get us where we need to be. So let's roll this video real quick.
The memorial service, sad, no question, a farewell to maybe the most beloved figure in the history of the sport. But it was also uplifting because it was a celebration of a life well played.
I'd like to suggest that the tone and the mood for this service is best exemplified by the familiar image of him striding up the fairway with that iconic smile, hitching up his pants, and giving it a thumbs up.
I believe Arnold's watching us today. I think we should all lift our hand and give Arnold Palmer a thumbs up. Arnold, well done. Thank you.
I called him one day, and he would always answer the phone, and in his voice, "Where are you?" That was how he answered the phone every time. And this one particular time, he said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at home." And I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm with the president." So I said, "What do you, the president of what?" And he said to me, as if it was so obvious, "The United States." He said, "I'm in the Oval Office right now with the president." And I said, "Well, why are you answering your phone?" He said, "I wanted to talk to you."
You have enriched and inspired the lives of millions of people all over the world, not just by how you played, but who you are. And your exceptional generosity to so many charities, especially for healthcare for babies and children, that legacy
in my view, is even more important than all those majors.
The captain of our game. You're gonna find him in a lot of places. He's gonna spring the mine. And it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt that he's not gonna be there to pick up that foam. It's gonna hurt when he's not gonna be there on the first tee. When a springtime tradition rolls around. But I hope you'll always remember, he's right here.
Have there been better golfers? Well, perhaps, but only a very few. Has anyone done more for our game? No one has come even close. Has there been a finer human being? Well, I admit, I haven't met one yet.
Arnold, your legacy will continue to march on, and now it's time for us to carry on what you have started.
There's an old saying that there are no irreplaceable people. Whoever made that line didn't know Arnold Palmer. We love you, Arnold, and we will never forget you. There will never be another like you.
Today I hurt just like you hurt. You don't lose a friend of almost 60 years and not feel an enormous loss. But my wife often says the memories are the cushions of life. Each of you sitting here today, or perhaps sitting at home, has at least one wonderful memory of Arnold Palmer to balance out your hurting heart. So today and many years from now, I simply ask you to just remember when. To his dear wife, Kit, his adored daughters, Peg and Amy, their families, his friends, and his millions of fans, remember when Arnold Palmer touched your life, touched your heart. And please, don't forget why. Thank you.
Arnie was a three-tool superstar for all times. Great player, great with the press, and great with the fans. Quick story, when he was a President's Cup captain in 1996, he took his team to a sports bar just to sort of bond. And a fan interrupted and asked Arnold for an autograph. He said now wasn't a good time. A little while later on the way to the hotel, Arnold told the bus driver to stop. He got off. He ran 200 yards back to the restaurant and signed that autograph. That's who he was.
Oh, man. Gets me every time. Watched that video 100 times. Man, why does it matter? We are designed for relationships. It's kingdom. We're doing life together. Oh, this is what one man did right here. I just encourage you. You know, if you want to live a wealthy life, be a better friend. Start evaluating the friendships you have. Start asking Jesus to guide you. You know, I just want to wrap it today. If I just have all you all close your eyes and bow your heads. You know, I'm going to pray two prayers. One is just for revelation for every one of us. That God can reveal just the relationships in our life that we can go speak into and make them better. But also for there's some of you that may not even have Jesus at the center of your life. You know, if that's you this morning, man, I don't want you to do life without our Savior. And for those of you that may already know him, but you feel like, man, I need revelation. I just don't want to participate. I want to influence. Man, just make Jesus the center of your life. Whether you're the first or the second category, if that's you, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Thank you. Just all across this building. If you raise your hand, just raise it high so I don't leave you out. I'm gonna lead us in a prayer, this whole church. Then afterwards, you know, make sure, you know, once you've raised your hand, you can put it down. I've seen it. But I wanna make sure that, one, you get plugged in to a connect group. Two, that you get a Bible if you don't have one, and we will resource you. And three, we have a little book called Following Jesus. Incredible little book on just kind of where to start and what Jesus is all about and how he's the greatest friend we could ever ask for. So as a church, we're just going to pray this whole prayer out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. God, I give you my life. Make it yours. God, teach me your ways. God, make me a better friend. Thank you, Lord, that my life is moving up. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for forgiving. And thank you for teaching me. Amen.